Praise the Lord. What an amazing day in the house of the Lord, under the protection of the Lord, his covering, his worship. Such a pleasure to have Pastor Bandhu with us from Sri Lanka as we introduced him this morning. Connections in other parts of the world and ministry. Well, tonight, title of the message is Journey Mercies. This is number one of two. I have to split this message in half, and you'll see why in just a few moments. 2 Corinthians 11, Journey Mercies. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28. Paul said, he's defending himself. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils, in perils. Paul, of all people, with his renowned and proven ministry, is defending himself. He's at a war with words. There were some people who, no matter what he did or said, found fault. And Paul said, I'm compelled to speak this way. He just says, here's part of my heritage, my track record in Christ. And then he begins to talk about the perils and journeys often. And then he lists eight perils in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, eight. Then he adds in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul, this great man of God, talks about his history in the gospel, begins to talk about some of the perils. You know, it's a number of years ago now that I was at our annual IAM conference, International Association of Ministers, founded by our late friend, Reverend Mel Davis, and one of the ministry brethren, Joe Champion, began to speak about this passage, 2 Corinthians 11, and he talked about eight perils in the ministry. And I was so intrigued by it, and I thought of it a number of times over the years and never really had inspiration to speak on it, but I feel a direction in my spirit these weeks, and so I'm going to open up this word, and I trust it'll be helpful to you. Perils in the ministry. Of course, I'm adapting it to a congregation and personal aspects, but the seed is so wonderful. Perils of the gospel. Eight perils of the gospel. Well, tonight we can only cover four. I'm going to split this into two parts. Could go longer, it could go shorter, but I don't think you want 8 points tonight. So in case maybe you're not going to be here next Sunday, you'll get the gist of where it's going. And this week you can form out your own truth and teaching on the last four, and you can preach yourself a little sermon next Sunday night if you're not here. Perils. You know, we can't journey. In journeys often, KJV says, in journeys often. We cannot journey in life. We cannot journey in a church. We cannot journey in the ministry. We cannot increase and gain effectiveness without exposing ourselves to some dangers, some perils. And the Apostle Paul gives us an indication of what those perils might be. Of course, there's the natural aspect, but I'm going to be speaking more in the spiritual. Number one, perils of waters. The danger of doctrinal extremes. The danger of doctrinal extremes. Spiritual father of mine, Dick Iverson, who's also gone to be with the Lord, wrote a book many years ago, Maintaining Balance When Winds of Doctrine Blow. because many doctrines blow across the land and in the body of Christ, maintaining balance when winds of doctrine blow. 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, perils of waters, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. You know, as I contemplated this message a number of weeks ago, I was so taken aback as Pastor Mark began to share some of these scriptures in recent weeks in his message, emphasizing these scriptures. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I believe the Lord is trying to help people in this house and those who listen beyond this house, and help us with sound doctrine, and help us not to fall into excessive and dangerous extremes in our doctrines. 2 Timothy 2, 15 to 18, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be diligent, study, compare scripture with scripture, sit under teaching, weigh things out, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. They began to preach the never-die doctrine. Strange doctrines. Doctrines that are pushed out too far, pushed out beyond proper bounds. Wonderful truths, like the prophetic, healing, faith, prosperity, deliverance, discipleship, holiness, authority and submission. But if you push them out too far, you get in trouble. Maintaining balance when winds of doctrine blow. What about end time speculation? Second coming error, date setting. My, how many people have been caught up and swept away with fanciful and sensational doctrines concerning the end times. Maintaining balance, perils of waters. And so we judge these things. You know, these end time doctrines, you may not know some of these words that I'm using, but you may come across them because I find that the winds of doctrine blow through every 10 or 20 or 30 years. The same doctrine comes back to influence another generation. The doctrine of the manifest sons or the man-child company. Sinless perfection. Never-die doctrine. Ultimate reconciliation. It's astounding how many believers over the years and over the centuries have been caught up in excessive and dangerous doctrines to their own ruin. And you just have to check out the history a little bit. How many people have fallen into extreme doctrines and Christian cults to disillusionment and hurt this last century? I could give you story after story, even in my own experience. And you know, the thing is, as I've watched what happened to some of my friends and watched other groups that have multiplied, but it was led into error, and how great was the fall and the break of that. There's something about us in our human nature, even our spiritual inquisitiveness. After you've been saved a while, it kind of feels like, man, the Christian life is not as eventful as I thought it would be. You know, I still have to get up, go to work, cook the food, take care of life. And Christians can start to want something more sensational, something more fanciful. And that's where it can lead. You know, the Apostle Paul said, perils of waters. Judge things. Carry things carefully. Work out the doctrines. Bounce them off people. Work together. Stay with the historic balanced truths of the gospel. Well, Ephesians 4, 14 to 15, the Apostle Paul said that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. You know, Paul tells us very clearly right there that between the new birth and maturity are doctrines and men laying in wait to deceive, and we have to make our way through. Man, I remember to my Bible college days, I had a friend in the Bible college, and we were there for a few months seeking God, and all of a sudden, he got caught up with a Christian cult, and in a few days, he quit Bible college and followed out with this group. I couldn't believe what I was witnessing. But how careful we must be. Perils of waters, the dangers of doctrinal extremes. Number two, perils of robbers. Enemy agents that want to steal our money. Watch out for thieves. Fraudsters, swindlers, slick deal makers. I don't know if there's some here that have never been taken. But you know what I'm talking about. Paul says, perils of robbers. Watch your money, but particularly when it comes to tithes, offerings, and alms. Because there's an enemy that wants to steal that money. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, the devil that is, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, Jesus said, and that they may have it more abundantly. The enemy wants to rob. He wants to steal the tithes, offerings, and alms of God's people so that they don't go into the kingdom of God and expand the work of God in the earth and bring souls and fruit to Christ. Malachi 3, will a man rob God? Perils of robbers. Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? God says, in tithes and offerings. Tithe is 10% of our income, and offerings are gifts above that according to our ability and generosity. He said, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Perils of robbers. The enemy wants to steal the money that we should be giving to God. Luke 12:21, Jesus said, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Rich toward God. That as we're faithful in our giving, we become rich unto God. And our heavenly bank account is stored up to the day of redemption when we go to be with the Lord. Let's fill up our heavenly bank account. Let's not let the robbers play with our mind and play with our finances, but give diligently to the Lord. My, a lifetime of faithful giving, tithing, offerings, alms. What an inheritance. What a bank account one day we'll have in the heavens and the fruit of many souls for the Lord. You know, Jesus said, Matthew 6:19-20, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Here we are, journeys of life, journeys of faith, perils of robbers. we have to watch out for the thieves that want to take the money that belongs to God and to his kingdom. Number three, perils of countrymen. That is, small praise from your own people. Small praise from your own people. Isn't that strange? The people that are closest to us, the ones who should be the most intense to cheer us on, are sometimes the ones who drag us down most. Familiarity. Family tussle. Petty human jealousy. Luke 4, Jesus came to Nazareth. He had launched out on ministry. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he opened the scriptures and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the brokenhearted and to bind up the wounds and to help the brokenhearted." And they listened to him. He said, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your ears." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And then he did something. He pressed the sermon. And all of a sudden they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." Verse 28, "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the hill, the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way." From gracious words to "let's push him over the cliff." Familiarity. John 7:5, the Bible says, "For even his brothers did not believe in him. Even his own family did not believe in him." It's too bad that he had to wait till he was crucified, till his family finally came to their senses and supported him, were found in the upper room, and took up the cause of the gospel. Of course, James and Jude, two of the outstanding apostles and ministers of the new covenant. This is what Jesus, perils of countrymen, small praise from the people who should be praising you and cheering you on the most. Jesus said, "A prophet is without honor in his own country." That was a statement he made, but he didn't say it has to be that way. He said it shouldn't be that way. The ones among whom we labor, our family, the ministry, we should be cheering one another on and supporting and lifting one another so that the gospel and the work of God can prosper in power. Mark chapter 6. "Then he went out from there and came to his own country." Perils of his own countrymen. "And his disciples followed him, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which he is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?' So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house.' Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled, because of their unbelief, Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Perils of your own countrymen. Let's not have this spirit that these people had. Small praise spirit. Let's be lavish. Let's encourage. Let's lift. Let's support. You know, it's amazing. The glowing words we can have for ministries that are far away. And yet how little we have to say about the ministries among us that carry the work of God and are faithful and lift up the ministry of the Lord. Perils of your own countrymen. It's something you deal with in this life because of petty human nature. Because of jealousy and envy, that pride that works in all of our human hearts. It's something we must guard against. What do? Perils of countrymen. You know, sometimes you just have to go on. Go with God. Do the work of the Lord. Number four, let's have the worship ministry come. Final one, perils of the Gentiles. The threat of worldliness. The threat of worldliness. So we make our way through life. The perils of the Gentiles, the nations, the culture, the world, the threat of worldliness, the pull of the world, the tug of the world that is upon our lives, the pull to the flesh, pull to seduction, even the pull to sin. 1 Corinthians 7:31 says, "And those who use this world as not misusing it or overusing it, for the form of this world is passing away." The form of this world, the fashion of this world is passing away. One day Jesus will come and it'll be over. But even now, there's a disintegration in this world at all times. When it walks in the ways of unrighteousness and principles after the world, the Bible says those who use this world is not misusing it, is not trying to overuse it. Legitimate and illegitimate things. And you know, the Christian, we must always be on guard. Perils of the Gentiles, perils of worldliness. We must always be on guard. Watching. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Even legitimate things like sports and recreation and interests, lifestyles, things we give ourselves to. We have to be careful lest these begin to take a disproportionate amount of time and take away from our calling and our ministry and what God has called us to do and be. And so we watch our lives. We stand on guard. Perils of Gentiles. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:10, said, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Didn't say he fell into sin. It doesn't say that he gave up the faith. It says he forsook Paul. He sought comfort and solace in the ways of this world. I guess he didn't want to endure the rigors of the gospel anymore, the spiritual warfare, the battle, the ministry. 1 John 2:15 to 17, "Do not love the world," that is the world's spirit, "or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." James 1:27, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Perils of the Gentiles. Well, let's stand together tonight. I trust this word has been helpful to you tonight. Maybe a certain point has touched your spirit. Maybe the Holy Spirit is confirming some things in your own life. by this word, but or maybe you're here tonight, and as I talk about these perils, journeys, here we are walking through life, perils of journeys. Maybe there's some other area that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and saying, you need to be careful on that. You need to watch that. You need to pull back your time. You need to adjust yourself. Bring some spiritual discipline into that area. Bring some caution into an area. We can't journey without perils. We can't journey. We can't move forward in God and life without exposing ourselves to dangers. But let's ask the Holy Spirit to keep us on the straight and narrow way and walk out our days for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Altars are open. If anyone needs prayer for any need, or you want to consecrate yourself to the Lord in a specific way tonight, please make your way down as we close out in worship. And God bless you, care for you, and watch over you.